Josh, when he was probably somewhere between Trevor and Zane, and he has been a faithful Christian through many years. Did he ever struggle? Well, probably, because he's human. But nevertheless, here he is living for the Lord now, and it's great to introduce him to you.
Well, good morning. It is definitely an honor and privilege for us to be here. We certainly count it a privilege, any church we get the opportunity to present in. So, as Pastor said, you guys want to focus on the children a little bit this morning. So we'll do a couple things with them first off, and then you get stuck listening to me for the rest of the time. So I understand Pastor's preaching at 1, and there's a meal after he's done preaching, so no, I'm kidding. Yeah. All right, you kids can come on. Was that each of the kids give something that they enjoyed about at Cape Verde. So first up we'll have Carver and Natalie here, and they enjoyed the same thing. And what was that?
The puppies.
In Cape Verde there are dogs and dogs and dogs and more dogs, and so around our home there was a couple of dogs. They tend to stay in territories or neighborhoods, especially if you throw scraps out, so it's hard to see again, but down on the bottom here is a mama dog and her maybe month and a half, 2 month old puppy that was there when we got there. She had two puppies, and one of them disappeared, and then not long after that the other one disappeared. But then, about a week before we left, a week and a half maybe, up over here, this mama dog, inside our garden area, which is all dirt with some trees, but she gave birth to 9 puppies, and so that's, you know, some of the puppies there as well, and the kids just absolutely loved holding and playing with the puppies. And it brought some of the neighbor kids over, because normally a dog is treated like a rat, just something you kick away and try to get away from you. But all the neighbor kids saw our kids playing with the puppies, and so it brought them over and gave some opportunities as far as that goes. Sarah, what was your favorite thing?
My friends.
Her friends. So, come on now. There we go. Oops. Oh, sorry. Yes, that's Natalie and Carver with the puppies. Down on the bottom right, one of the she was one of the church girls, not one of the neighbor girls. But then also Mason Pritchard, the son of the family, or one of the sons of the family that we were working with. Okay, friends. So on the left-hand side, again, hard to see, we have Sarah with Nyla. Nyla was about a 3-year-old girl. Had Down syndrome, or as they would say, it's syndrome of Down. Anyway, she just loved Sarah, and Sarah loved her. And so anytime they were at church, just holding hands, walking all over everywhere, it was just heart-touching. Bottom right is after church, there's a little area in between the church building and the neighboring building that was full of concrete. And so the kids just loved running back and forth, playing tag there. And then top right, again, real hard to see, but Barranca and her baby, Vittoria, We got to spend a lot of time with them, and our kids loved them, and she and Vittoria loved our kids. And then top middle is some of the neighbor girls the neighbor girls loved our girls' hair because it was so fine and so straight. They just run their fingers through it. And anyway, that was kind of neat. Robert, what was your favorite thing?
The beaches.
The beaches. Boy, after my own heart. There was a handful of sandy beaches, and some of them were absolutely beautiful. A lot of the sand is gone because everything's made out of concrete. And so when you make concrete, you need sand. So a lot of the sand off the beaches is gone, but there are a handful of sandy beaches left, and this is one of them that we went to. Oh, goodness. There we go. So there's a couple of the boys next to one of the rocks. The islands are formed by volcanoes, so there's big rocks all over the place. This particular beach, you walk down about a half mile, and there were some caverns and caves that you could wander through and everything. That was a pretty neat experience, but it didn't really matter time of the year. We got there first in February, so in February we were at the beach. I think we went, what, four or five times maybe while we were there. Got to enjoy the beach a little bit. And Carissa and Elizabeth, what were your favorite things?
Our friends.
They're friends also. And so, of course, you know, girls got to take the selfies. that was one of the neighbor girls. She's down there also. Just a couple of the neighbor girls. And they really didn't get to make friends because of our school schedule and their school schedule. They were all busy during the day, and then evenings we were gone a lot. We were not home much for the evenings, and so there just wasn't much opportunity for them to interact with the neighbor kids. Until about maybe 2 weeks or so before we left, we quit doing school. We just said, okay, we're going to, you know, take a break for a couple of weeks here, and their schools let out, and so, boy, for a couple of weeks, almost every day, most of the day, they were all together. And for me, as a dad, that's a big deal, because one of the hardest things for my girls to leave was they were leaving their friends. And the fact that they were able to make new friends over there was a blessing to my heart. So, all right, so with that, you younger four can sit. Yes, get the song. And Carissa and Elizabeth have another song that they've prepared. They just forgot the song.
Come on up.
Joy to me as I'd be upstairs, up in my office, or doing different things, and they were downstairs doing the dishes a lot of times, and just hearing the echoing through the building, because again, concrete building, it just echoes, and it was like I say, always a joy for me to listen to them singing through the building. So. I was here before and talked a little bit about our training time down in Seymour. This time I'll speak a little bit more about our time in Cape Verde. And one of the first things people ask me is, where in the world is Cape Verde? So, again, really hard to see, but if we take Black Creek there and just take a quick jaunt across the Atlantic. We leave from Boston, fly over to the Azores, and then down to Cape Verde. It's about 350, 400 miles off the west coast of Africa. Hurricane season is a great reminder to pray for us and pray for the people of Cape Verde, because Cape Verde is basically where all the hurricanes start. The hot air comes across, or all over the Sahara, hits the ocean, picks up moisture, hits the dry land of Cape Verde and starts the twirling motion. So whenever hurricane season comes through and you're hearing all of them, great opportunity to pray. Unfortunately, they do not get the benefit of the rain from the hurricanes. There's 2 months of the year where it rains, if it rains, and when we were there, they were on the tail end of a drought. So August and September is the rainy season, so these past couple months it did rain a little bit, but prior to that it was 22 months without any rain. So it's a great area for growing crops if they can get rain or water. So Cape Verde is a group of islands. There's 10 islands and a couple of islets. One island does not have any people on it, so there's 9 islands with people living on them. We were down on the bottom, the main island of Santiago, with the capital city of Praia. We did not live in the capital city, but we were maybe 45 minutes to an hour drive away. So I've got a little video. Again, hopefully you'll be able to see. And I'm hoping my speaker works that you can hear. But just showing some of what we did while we were over there. So.
Preacher Evangelistic Ministries would like to introduce you to the Kidd family. They have recently completed a Mentoring Men for Missions program, an intensive one-year training program that prepares the entire family for life on the mission field. They completed a series of courses at our home office in Seymour, Missouri, and the remaining 5 months of the year were spent on the field in Cape Verde, West Africa.
Cape Verde is a country of amazing beauty and incredible scenery. Small minority who have economic means, while the vast majority live in extreme poverty, where money and water is a luxury. However, regardless of economic status, they all need to hear of the redemptive language and culture training. Building relationships. Administered in various capacities. While serving alongside veteran missionaries of fellow Pritchard family. When they return, they will work hand in hand with the Pritchards to bring the light of Christ to the spiritually dark land. Following the example of the Apostle Paul, the goal is to plant churches and train national pastors to lead those churches and repeat that process in another city.
There's a little snippet of our time there. As it said, we had a few focuses. Number one was learning the culture. Many times when somebody from an American culture goes into a foreign country, they can become very offensive without even realizing it and close many doors for years. That would otherwise not have been closed had they known that what they were going to do was offensive. So we read a few books and wrote a few papers and so on different cultures and studied the history of that country to understand some of the cultural aspects and things of that would explain maybe why they think some of the ways that they do think. So that was one big aspect. Another was language classes. We went three days a week for an hour and a half for language class with a man who was a Christian man, a member of one of the churches. And so he tailored the classes for our purpose being there. He looked right at me and said, there's some grammar in the Portuguese Bible that is not spoken grammar. He says, you're going to need to know this because you're going to be preaching. Now, that's something I wouldn't have learned from a secular teacher, which one after another fell through that Philip was trying to set up for me. And you know, here we get to Cape Verde, and we still don't have a language teacher set up. And he says, well, hey, I can't work. How about if I teach him? I'll explain later why he can't work. But so he's a Portuguese teacher in the school system, a Christian man, and teaching us. So it was a great blessing to have that. But then also we were very heavily involved in the ministry. As I said, we were on the bottom island there of Santiago. Santiago is a small island, but it's one of the biggest island of the country, really, but it's small in land mass. Top to bottom is roughly 35 miles. It's only 383 square miles, you know, has a population of about 272,000 people. And the whole country has, on paper, a population of about 553,000. Now, that isn't entirely accurate because due to their medical system, many women choose not to go to the hospital to give birth because it's just a traumatic experience here in the States, and even more so there. So there's many children born that just aren't there's no paperwork on. So that number is actually a bit higher. But there's more Cape Verdeans living in other countries than there are within Cape Verde. So, for example, Boston and Providence, Rhode Island, those two areas have roughly 500,000 Cape Verdeans living there. So there's a great ministry opportunity. In fact, Lord willing, January, there's an outreach with the church planner that we met at a missions conference in Boston. And we may be able to participate in reaching some of the Cape Verdeans that are in Boston. So, again, very hard to see, but over, well, if my laser's working and it's not. Over on the right-hand side is Pedro Badejo. That's where we were living, and that's where the seminary is at, and one of the churches. They meet in the bottom level of the seminary. Neat experience living there. It is a bit of a backwards thinking city, but one neat aspect was it's a city of roughly 27,000 people, and we were the only Caucasian family living in that city. And so at first it was, you walk down, oh, whitey, 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 whitey. And after a while, you know, it just became normal. But again, the longer we were there, news travels, people knew why that white family was there. And so it kind of opened up several doors to present the gospel. Just many different opportunities that were neat because of our being there. But so we had one church there. And then over here a little to the west is Asamata. City up on a mountain, so it was a bit cooler, so everybody loved going up there because it wasn't quite so hot. But there's another church there, and then while we were there, we had the privilege of helping with another church plant down in the capital city of Praia. So now through Preach, there are three good Bible preaching churches on that island. There is one other gospel preaching church in Praia. And then there's another missionary who, let me go back here, on the islands of São Vicente and Sant Antão up there, there's one church on each of those islands. So 9 islands with people living on them, and there are 6 gospel preaching churches, 6 islands with no gospel presence at all. So that is very much a burden on our hearts here. So we had that, like I said, the privilege of helping with the church in Praia. Initially, we held only Sunday evening services. So Sunday morning, we would alternate between Pedro Badejo and Asamata. And then every Sunday evening, we would be in Praia. And then our language class was in Asamata. So we would be there for the Wednesday evening service. And then Thursday evening, we'd be at Pedro Badejo. Each of those cities is a 45 to 60 minute drive from each other. You'd think only being 35 miles top to bottom that you should make it in no time, but going from Praia to Teta Fall up there took about 2.5 hours because it's mountainous country. So you go up the mountain, down the mountain, around the mountain, through the valley, over the bumps and different things. So it took a bit longer to get places, but the road system is improving, mainly because of contributions from other countries. The U.S. is, I forget the exact number, but somewhere between $75 to $100 million has invested in the Cape Verdean road system. So, anyway, that's the island that we were on, and that's the island that we will return to when we go back. We definitely want to branch out and reach some of the other islands. It's just a matter of logistics. It is not easy to have a short-term trip to some of those other islands. Because of their transportation, sometimes it needs to be long-term. Couple of the islands, it's not bad to get a flight to or from, but others are more difficult to reach. So we do have opportunity to go into the school systems and present them with gospel packets, as long as we provide a tablet, you know, writing tablet and a pen or pencil or something along with it. So several of the islands have been reached, but there's still, I think maybe four of them that have not. So that is something that we'll be working on, trying to set up and organize when we get back, is reaching those other islands as well, with at least a portion of the description. We currently do have two national pastors for the two established churches. So top left is Pastor Julio Nunke and his wife Elizette, and then on the right-hand side is Pastor Charles, or Carlos, but he goes by Charles. I don't understand that, but anyways. They're great men, great godly men, but who deal with a lot of the pressures and stresses of that culture. Pastor Nunke actually is from Guinea-Bissau, and 20-some years ago he fled that country found haven in Cape Verde, and is a mathematics school teacher by day and preacher the rest of the time. So praise God, he was studying to be a minister with the Nazarene Church, and through his own study he realized that their doctrines were not correct, and as a result later he met up with Brother Paul Pritchard and Philip Pritchard and joined the ministry there. So he was just ordained this past year, both of those men, and are doing well in their churches. And then the bottom, we have two other men who are in the seminary, along with Philip and myself there. The man on the right, Lord willing, will be the pastor of the church in Praia. And then the other gentleman, they're both from the island of Fogo. And even though they're all Cape Verdeans, they relate to their island. So the Fogo people, that's their people, you know. And so the guy on the left, Edson, he has a desire to go reach his people, which is what we're working towards, what we're praying for, is more Cape Verdean nationals to get that burden to reach their people. Because Philip and I are only two men, and there's only so much that we can do. But also the Cape Verdeans, as it is in any country, really, they'll listen to their own people a whole lot quicker, a whole lot sooner than they will any foreigner. So these two men have been very involved in the ministry. Clovis is absolutely a go-getter. He'll stop anybody anywhere and talk to them about Jesus, which is just awesome. He's a very studious man. There's pros and cons of YouTube, but he actually got saved by watching YouTube videos, which is just a little unique. But he does know English. He got opportunity to go to Macau to school and was required to learn English for the schooling. So anyways, that's how that happened. But one prime example of how they'll listen to their own people, he was given testimony as he was preaching one evening how through his own study he realized that he and his then girlfriend were not living according to God's will. They had one baby and another one on the way, and he went and after studying his Bible, he says, "Hey, we got to get married." And so a couple weeks later, they went and got married. And he and Edson are good buddies, and he went to Edson and said, "Hey, you're living in sin. You need to get married," because he and his girlfriend were expecting a baby as well. And so a few weeks later, they went and got married. And so he's given this testimony in church one evening, and that girl, Branka, and her baby, Vittoria, she and her boyfriend went back to her home. They weren't living together, but the baby was theirs together. And they were talking and said, "Hey, we ought to get married. This isn't right, you know?" And while it was a great blessing for them to see that, you know, as Philip was joking, he says, "You know, I've been preaching on this stuff for a dozen times and they don't listen to me. He preaches on it one time and bang, they want to get married." But, you know, that's just how it is. And praise the Lord, they did a couple months ago get married. And marriage is very abnormal there. For many reasons, but one of them is financial. It costs about $200 to file the paperwork to get married, and when most people make $130 to $160 a month, $200 is a whole lot of money to file some paperwork just so you can continue living together like you were before. And so many people don't get married for that reason, but also they to have multiple partners. So I'll just leave it at that. It's very common and very accepted and expected that that's just a way of life. So marriage is absolutely abnormal. Her mother was completely against them getting married, to the point where she was staying up all day, all night, chanting to the spirits that the spirits would come kill Philip Pritchard, that the spirits would kill the baby. Bronco's grandmother was offering sacrifices to the same effect, and they were very opposed to them getting married, but also her involvement with the church. So there's a lot of resistance as far as that stuff goes. But it's not just the men who are involved in the ministry. It's not just these men. It's not just myself and Philip Pritchard. My wife, down on the bottom there, left, hard to tell again, but excuse me, she was involved in ladies' Bible study, had opportunity to present the lesson a few times, and while it started out with just two ladies, it is now somewhere around 10 to 12 ladies in this weekly Bible study, so praise the Lord for that. Sarah Pritchard is continuing on with that. But then also on the right-hand side there, Carissa and Elizabeth are playing Uno with some of the high school girls there, but they're playing while the cake is in the oven. One of the girls had a school project and needed to make a cake and didn't have a clue how, and her mother didn't know how. So they asked Jenny if she would help with this project. And so also Bronca, with her getting married and having a home of her own, just didn't have some of the housekeeping and baking skills and so on. And so my wife was able to be of an influence in that area and assist in some of those general home ec type things. But also the Bible study was a huge part. But then, as I mentioned earlier, the girls and the neighbor, some of the neighbor girls, some of the neighbor girls there, after they were able to connect on a regular basis, they took it upon themselves, it wasn't my encouragement, wasn't my wife's encouragement, to invite them to the Saturday afternoon youth group, to invite them to Sunday morning services. While my girls didn't speak a whole lot of Portuguese and they spoke one or two words of English, there's these great devices that you download Google Translate and you can communicate with almost anybody. And so through that, they were able to talk back and forth and really spend days and days and days together, but were able to get them to come to church where they had never been before. So praise the Lord for that. It is absolutely a family effort as far as the ministry is related, and that's the way it needs to be. It can't just be mom and dad who drug the kids along. It needs to be a family effort.
Amen.
Now, there's a lot of good things going on in Cape Verde, a lot of positive momentum, but the fact remains that Cape Verde is still very much a third world country. It's filthy. There's sickness and disease is just part of everyday life. There wasn't a week that went by that somebody in our family wasn't sick while we were there, but it's just something that those people deal with. And it's something we learn to deal with too. Ministry goes on whether you're sick or not, so you just got to suck it up, Sally, and go to church because there's people counting on you. You know, and that was one of the lessons that we had to learn is, sick or not, you still gotta do your job. But the animals are free range is a big deal here in America, right? You know, oh, it's free range chicken, free range whatever. Everything there is free range. There's no fences, and so along with that, you know, the animals relieve themselves any and everywhere. Okay, so you have all that, you're dodging that down, walking down the street, or even in your own side yard there. The healthcare system is greatly, greatly lacking. I said our Portuguese teacher, he couldn't work because in January he had a heart attack, and he needed stent put in his heart. Well, they don't offer that procedure in that country. And so he got put on a waiting list to be flown to Portugal to have a stent put in his heart. Here we are, November, he's still on that waiting list to have a stent put in his heart. And it's just something that they all accept is frequently you die on the waiting list, whatever the procedure is that you need. And it's just something that they accept. They don't gripe or complain about it. It's just part of life for them. So the healthcare system is not great. The food selection is pretty poor. Boy, couldn't even get a good peanut butter for quite a while. There's no such thing as McDonald's, KFC, Taco Bell. That's just non-existent. It's hot. It's dry. And while there's no snakes, praise God. I am petrified of snakes. There's no snakes, but they do have. Again, real hard to see. They do have these monsters there. That's a spider that was up in the corner of the ceiling. And little Sophia Pritchard, 3 years old, one evening at church, she comes skipping down the hallway. There's a big spider in the bathroom. So, no problem, spiders. I've killed spiders before. I'll go kill this one. I got in there, and oh my goodness, that was a spider. Now, this is not my hand. Not at all. But just to give you an example of how large the spider is, I mean, it is the size of your hand. And so I went and got the bug spray, and I was going to spray up there and kill that thing. And Clovis, he looks at me and kind of smirks and, do you have a broom? Like, yeah, I'll go get you a broom. So he took care of the spider for me, thankfully. But those things jump. anyways, so they have that. You won't really be able to tell again, but outside our bedroom window was this view, a bunch of junk cars and a body shop, and there's a cow there munching on a cement mix bag. Farmers complain about lack of hay. Just go to Walmart and get some empty boxes. They'll chew on that all day long. Seen it firsthand. and all the noise and commotion, and you know, we can do that same thing here in this country and sit there and think about all the negative garbage going on around us, and I can't get this and I can't do that, and I want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and I can't even get peanut butter. Doesn't matter where you're at, you can sit there and look at all the negative trash all around you. Or you can remember that we serve a sovereign God. Our God knew long before we even heard of Cape Verde that we'd be going there. He knew before he said the words, "Let there be light," who would be sitting in this room today. And whatever we're going through, God has a purpose for it. God has a reason. And not that we need to sit and dwell on all that, because also outside our bedroom window was the ocean, and I could watch the sunrise every morning as long as it was a clear day. And so instead of sitting there looking at all the negative trash, let's find the beauty in life and focus on what God has us in that particular situation for. God had us there to learn the culture. God had us there to learn the language. God had us there to participate in the ministry. But as far as the training program, those were the three main purposes. But the most effective part of the us being over there was the fact that our hearts were just knit with those people. And we can't imagine being anywhere else, I guess. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." And so many times we misread that and say, hey, I desire a newer vehicle. God, you're going to give that to me, right? I desire a bigger house, and we get all hope for my family. You know, want a bigger house, nicer house for my family. That's not what this is talking about. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. If our heart's not in tune with God, chances are pretty good the desires of our heart are not godly desires, are not desires that God placed on our heart. We need to get our hearts in tune with God and then wait for him to place desires on our heart that are not normal for our flesh to desire. I can assure you, Cape Verde is not on the top 10 list of vacation spots. It's not on the top 10 list of places to go live. And we have a pretty comfortable home over in Shingle House there. It's not a bad place to live. A lot of green grass. There's no green grass there. But you know, God's placed such a desire on our hearts to be over in Cape Verde that we won't be content anywhere else. It's nice to sleep in a real bed every now and then, but we can't wait to leave again. Because we know the more churches that we go visit, the more people that we talk to about Cape Verde, the quicker that we'll be able to get back there and do what God wants us doing. Which is telling the Cape Verdeans of Christ. However, we can't, in our travels, neglect the full aspect of the Great Commission, and neither can you. You know, Acts 1:8 tells us the latter part of it, we're to reach Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Okay, so God's got us going to the uttermost part of the earth, but I'm not there today, I'm here today. And I'm to reach the people around me today until God enables us to get to Cape Verde. And same with you. You know, we oftentimes look at the Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth part, and in all reality, that is, it's easier to reach them because all we got to do is pull this out and pay somebody to go reach them, right? It's a whole lot harder. At least, okay, I'll confess, it is for me. It's a whole lot harder to reach my Jerusalem, to go talk to the people that I know about Christ, to talk to my family about Christ. That's harder than anything. But we're commanded to do it. We have to. I mean, unless we want to be in blatant disobedience to God, which, frankly, far too many of us are far too often. But that's, it's not a reach Jerusalem or Judea or Samaria or the uttermost part of the earth. There's that word "and" in there, which means we're to reach all four areas all the time, no matter what. That's our command. And far too frequently we neglect that. Now, I can tell you, I never figured in a million years that God would have me doing this. Until I got a little closer to God. You know, when we're not walking as close to God, we just don't have those godly desires. And I know there's some people who have that fear. Well, you know, I'll get kind of close to God, but I don't want to get too close to God, because what if God sends me to Africa? I don't want to go to Africa. But I can say with all certainty that God does not want every Christian being a missionary in some other country because of the Jerusalem. There's a whole town here. There's a whole city of Olean that needs reached. There's Portville that needs reached. And he needs each and every one of you to do that. Now, I'm not saying that he hasn't called some of you to go somewhere else and preach the gospel. He may very well have. But that's between you and God. But until you answer that call, there's your Jerusalem. And we're to reach that Jerusalem as hard or easy as it may be for you. It comes easy for some people, and praise God for that. And some people say that, I can't do that. That's not my personality. That's not me. Well, we're forgetting that first part of the verse, Acts 1:8. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know, I'm getting it backwards now, I think. Give me just one moment. Acts 1:8. After that... But ye shall receive power. Excuse me. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Well, when does the Holy Ghost come upon you? The exact moment of salvation. So if you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to be born again, you have the power of the Holy Ghost upon you. We learned this morning about prayer. Pray. Beg God for that power. And he'll give it to you. As long as you're using it for a godly purpose. Now, if you want the power to wreak havoc on your neighbor, well, that probably isn't going to happen. But if you're praying and asking God to give you the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can tell others of Jesus Christ, he'll give you that power. So that's us. We're headed to Cape Verde. And we again, won't settle till we get there. So thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Food smells good, so. Preacher, I'll turn it back over to one of you.
Last was growing up, child in the church.